This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Over the past few years, the population of Wisconsin and its neighbors has been getting older. As the baby boomers continue to reach retirement age and more young people leave the area, future populations are predicted to be even older. This week on Newsmakers, we'll begin a monthly series on aging, touching on different issues that affect older generations in our region. Today, in the first show of the series, we'll talk about the changing demographics in Wisconsin and Minnesota and how an older population could affect those communities. Joining us today is Carrie Mulkey, head of the Wisconsin Bureau of Aging and Disability Resources, and Susan Brower, state demographer for Minnesota. Thank you both so much for being here.
Happy to be here. Thank you.
It's good to be here.
So let's start out by talking a little bit about why the populations of Wisconsin and Minnesota are getting older. You know, an aging population is not really a new problem for our region, I think. So, you know, what factors are really contributing to this?
Well, part of the issue, of course, is that the baby boomers who are now 51 to 69 years old are moving into those older ages. But if you look kind of longer term, this is a trend that really has its basis in the fact that we have long life expectancies and relatively low birth rates. So eventually we would have gotten to an older society anyway, but the baby boomers kind of helped us along.
Mm-hmm. And Carrie, did you have something else to add too?
Yeah, a couple of things I'd like to add. I think it's important to realize that population aging is not new. It's actually been a process that's been underway since the 1900s, and it's quite fascinating to see how just over the course of one decade, life expectancies increased by 30 years. So to the point, most babies in 1900 didn't live past age 50, and now we're seeing life expectancy at birth now exceeding 80 years, at least here in Wisconsin. And that's a pretty consistent nationwide statistic as well. And I think the baby boomers are, as was mentioned by Susan, is certainly something that's contributing to this phenomenon. But there's some other pieces, too. I think you mentioned infant survival. I would add things like public health, nutrition, sanitation, and I like to frame population aging as a public health success. Preventive medical care, medical advances, acute medical care, and decreasing poverty are all things that are contributing to this increase in life expectancy. But it isn't a new phenomenon.
Mm-hmm. And so So obviously the population as a whole is getting older, but do you think, you know, Wisconsin, Minnesota, other states in our region are seeing an older population than maybe other states?
I can answer that. This is Susan. Part of what's contributing to our average age structure is just what's happening with our younger generation. And in both Minnesota and Wisconsin, we tend to lose more people to other states than we gain from other states. Now we in Minnesota, we tend to make up for that with international immigration. But when you have that loss of the younger generation, it really serves to age your population more than it otherwise would age, because young people are typically the ones who move, and when they move, it's kind of a double whammy because they move out of state, and oftentimes they'll find new homes and they'll have children elsewhere, if the births had happened in their home state of Minnesota or Wisconsin, we'd have kind of that younger population to even out the aging population.
Mm-hmm. And Carrie, do you think maybe similar things are happening in Wisconsin from your point of view?
Absolutely. And I would add to that, there really is not a lot of difference. We may be slightly older, but this is definitely a national phenomenon. But Wisconsin and again, not to speak for Minnesota, but I'm not sure that there's a lot of difference here than in other parts of the country. Mm-hmm. In fact, in other states, it's more significant.
And I think another factor is that maybe, you know, our younger generation, millennials, you know, I've read that they are tending to wait to start their families even to an older age. And that's also contributing to a gap in you know, young children. Do you see, have you guys heard of that as well?
We have.
Yeah, and we've seen, you know, it's hard to tell whether millennials will have the same number of children that generations before them had, because they're coming out of a really unique period in time. They're coming out of school, many of them, at a time, you know, when jobs were very hard to come by for people in their early careers. And so that economic context seems to have delayed some of the transitions to older, to adult life, such as, you know, household formation, having children, you know, partnering or marriages. All these things appear to have been delayed, and it's just a matter of time until we see whether they've been delayed permanently or if it's just a temporary thing.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, where are our older populations really concentrated? I mean, is it kind of consistent throughout the state or throughout the region, you know, between cities and more rural settings? Or, you know, is there one that's is experiencing an older population?
Yeah, I can provide a context for Wisconsin.
Yeah, Carrie.
So in Wisconsin, we have close to 6 million people in the state, 5.7. And about 780,000 are over age 65 today, just to give you a picture of that. So it's about one out of every six people. And then in the next 25 years, actually, the 65 and older population is going to grow by 72%. So it will rise to about one in four of the total population. So that's the statewide average. But in terms of the question, the specific question you were asking, it absolutely varies across the state. By 2040, we will have 27 counties, and there are 72 counties in the state. 27 of them will have 30% that are 65, of their population is 65 and older. And we have three areas in the state, three counties in the state, that will be 40% or higher. But in general, we are seeing it here in Wisconsin to be a rural, mostly in the rural areas, that have the increased number of older populations. And that is attributable to what we were just talking about. We, you know, younger populations tend to be around areas where we have colleges and universities, and certainly in our more metropolitan areas where there are more job opportunities.
Mm-hmm. And Susan, are you saying a similar distribution in Minnesota?
Absolutely. So I think that metro-rural split is an important one to make. I think I would just add that in the metropolitan areas in the Twin Cities, we see this is something that's really basic, but it's an important thing to get your head around. We see most of the older adults living in those metropolitan areas, and that's just because that's where the population centers are. However, if you look at those rural areas, while there's many fewer older adults relative to the metros, they make up a higher share of their counties. So you get these counties with very high shares of older adults, even though the numbers themselves may be small.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking about the aging populations of Wisconsin and Minnesota and how the growing number of seniors will affect the region. We're here with Minnesota State Demographer Susan Brower and Carrie Mulkey, Director of the Wisconsin Bureau of Aging and Disability Resources. So, Susan, you were just, you know, you're talking about how in a lot of rural areas, you know, seniors will make up a higher percentage of the population. You know, what are the advantages and disadvantages to aging in a rural setting versus an urban setting?
Well, I can speak generally to, you know, just the remoteness of being an older adult in the rural settings. I mean, we're already seeing in Minnesota here in some of our counties that are rural and they're more remote from healthcare facilities. They have many of them don't have the population to support nursing home facilities, and so you see that there are real barriers to accessing health care in some of those areas just because they don't have the density there to be able to support a service. So it gets to be a considerable trick to figure out how to provide services to so many older adults who are located remotely around the state. And I'm sure, Carrie, you may be able to speak to that more directly as well.
You bet. And actually, I appreciate the question. I'd like to jump in with a big picture statement, if I could, which is that I think it's important to frame up the opportunities that an older population provides. Population is living longer, but it's also healthier and more active and engaged than ever before. And this really presents opportunities for both individuals to maintain a high quality of life well into old age, and also opportunities for our communities as a whole to benefit in unique and new ways. And I think, you know, particularly in rural areas, back to that initial question, you know, certainly the importance of community, the importance of people knowing each other and stepping up to the plate to care for each other is something that is very prevalent in rural counties and a very strong opportunity and a need that we will see emerge as we continue to age as a population.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And, you know, I think that, you know, a lot of people in rural communities would agree that there is that great sense of community and knowing each other. But, you know, do you see, you know, are there one challenge that comes to mind in my mind is transportation. That's a really basic issue of being able to get to the grocery store or wherever, you know, seniors need to go. And I know that can be a challenge in rural areas.
Absolutely. Transportation is a statewide challenge, but certainly more of an issue in rural areas, as you're saying. And transportation is critical for older adults. It's their connection with the community to help them remain active and social. And so having transportation options is a significant problem, but an opportunity. And I do think that, again, as we have a greater population of older adults, there will be a stronger voice saying we need some solutions to some of these challenges that we have, and transportation certainly is one of those that, at least in Wisconsin, we talk about quite a bit about how to solve some of those issues. And here in Wisconsin, we have a pretty strong volunteer network as well of community-based transportation, and so it's something that we can continue to build, but it is a strength that we have in Wisconsin.
Definitely. And Susan, is that another issue that you've seen in Minnesota?
Yes, transportation regularly rises to the top of the concern list for older adults. Just how is it that they'll be able to continue to get around when they're not able to drive anymore, especially, again, in those rural areas where we're really relying more on the private car instead of public transit. I would just add that in terms of opportunities, we have so many new technologies coming online. It's exciting to see what shape that will take as we meet this aging challenge. So, you know, you think about technologies like how they're used for say like the Uber model or Lyft model, where you can network people together through their smartphones. That's something that, you know, has potential applications for older adults. We haven't quite figured out how to apply that yet, but it's just an example of the kinds of technologies that may help us meet the challenge.
Mm-hmm. And Carrie, you mentioned that, you know, a lot of people in Wisconsin have really stepped up to the plate to kind of serve community needs. You know, do you have an example of one of those kind of success stories?
I have a number of examples of that, actually. Let me actually speak quickly, if I could, to lay a little foundation.
Yeah.
One of the issues, too, that I think is really important for us to pay attention to is caregiving. And many older adults, we will see a trend of more older adults caring for older adults. And so one of the things that, and caregiving can have some rewarding benefits, but also, as you'd imagine, can be a very challenging thing. And what I'm talking specifically about is family caregivers. And, you know, they are the largest provider of long-term care services in America. So a lot of people are doing this today, and we're going to continue to see that increase. But caregivers are also at high risk for things like depression and other stress-related illnesses. So supporting caregivers so that they can continue in that role is something that is foundational and, again, a need for the older population. So in terms of an example, we have this, again, all over the state, too, of different models of supporting caregivers, whether it's pulling together neighbors, church groups, community groups. And we have some champions out in our communities that are those ones that are spearheading these groups to come together around an individual who may be dealing with any number of issues, whether it be Alzheimer's disease or other chronic conditions or other challenges, to provide some relief for that primary caregiver, you know, so that they can perhaps get some respite, or they might go grocery shopping for them, so that they don't have to leave their loved one. So that's just one example of some of the things that our communities can do to address some of the challenges that an older population can present. But again, stressing the benefits too of having an older population.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting that you bring up caregiving, Carrie, because, you know, one of the trends that I've heard is that it's becoming more prevalent that, you know, individuals will have their parents move in with them, but they will also still have children at home. And I've heard it referred to as the sandwich generation. Is that an issue that you guys are looking at, too, of just, you know, what do those caregivers need in that particular situation?
Absolutely. Sandwich generation is something we use a lot, and there are very many people who do this. I think, you know, to that point, too, sometimes we don't talk about the children also that live in those households. And so when we're talking about caregivers, we often have children actually serving in that role as well. So what a wonderful thing that we have more and more people that have older adults living in their households. But again, you know, caregiving is one of those potential challenges that can create for both children and primary caregivers.
Mm-hmm. And Susan, are you seeing that prevalence of older generations moving into family members' homes and having, you know, needing to support caregivers?
You know, we do see that, although we haven't seen a tremendous rise in that just yet. I think this might be a good time to point out that when we're thinking about this aging trend, there's a lot of difference after the age. We tend to think of aging as people who are, sometimes they're 50 and older, sometimes 55, 65 and older. But we're really talking about 15 to 20 really healthy, active years. And so since the baby boomers are still just at the edge of turning 65, we still haven't seen that rise move into the pattern of co-residence to the extent that perhaps we may in the coming decade and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd echo that, too. People 85 and older We tend to see this more often. But in Wisconsin, we are seeing an increase in our 85-plus population.
That's Carrie Mulkey, Director of the Wisconsin Bureau of Aging and Disability Resources, here with us today to talk about the changing demographics of Wisconsin and Minnesota. Also joining us, our conversation, is Susan Brower, State Demographer of Minnesota. You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. So, Susan, you mentioned that we're kind of on the cusp of this, is where things are really starting to change. But, you know, we're not in the kind of the area, you know, we're not in the population divide that we're going to see in coming years. So, what things are Minnesota or maybe the nation really doing to kind of prepare for this upcoming change?
You know, our state here in Minnesota has been doing a lot of planning around the aging trend for some time. And I think, you know, we've done things here around long-term care, about long-term care and around long-term care insurance, and helping Minnesotans to understand just what that is, what it's used for, and to look to develop products that are affordable for middle-income people. That's something that's been put in place now. But the aging trend is a really big foundational change for a lot of our institutions and a lot of the ways that we run our public budgets. And I think some of the changes that will come will have to deal with kind of as they come. It's so big, it's really hard to anticipate exactly where the changes will be.
Mm-hmm. And Carrie, what changes are you seeing on a Wisconsin level?
Yeah, there's a number of things that we've instituted here in Wisconsin. To echo Susan, we've been thinking about this for quite some time now, and I just want to highlight some of the key things that we're doing here in Wisconsin to impact this in a positive way. So the first I want to highlight is Aging and Disability Resource Centers, or affectionately referred to as ADRCs here in the state. Every county in our state has a local Aging and Disability Resource Center, and these are very important. Information is power. You know, we often hear people say, after they've had an experience, we didn't know what to do, or after the experience, if only there was someone who could have told me that. And so the ADRC is a one-stop shop for unbiased information to really help people understand what their options are, but also help them plan for the future. They have a critical role in providing programming to support healthy aging, which I'll talk about in a moment. To teach people about the cost of care and help them plan for their future. So we're really proud of ADRCs. They developed here in Wisconsin. It was a Wisconsin idea, and now all states in the country do have Aging and Disability Resource Centers. So it is a local resource that, if your audience hasn't heard of them before, I do hope that they will reach out to ADRCs at any point in time to get information. A second thing that I think is really important to think about is in our communities can really support healthy aging, partly by becoming age-friendly and dementia-friendly. And so we have some initiatives around livable communities, we call them. And just to describe a little bit about what that means is that their livable communities are built in a way that helps facilitate ease of access, safety, accessibility, and recreation, and those sorts of things. If you think about it, kind of like universal design on a large scale, the whole community, that's really what this is about. And the AARP actually has a wonderful tool out there where individuals can look at their individual community down to the zip code level and really look at their community. And it's helpful for community planners, for policymakers, as well as individuals to make decisions about where they live and how can they improve their communities. So we have some efforts underway here to really look at how we can make our communities more livable. And if I could just highlight a couple more. One is healthy aging programming. So we have the tools to really address some of the chronic conditions that older adults experience, which is a somewhat prevalent issue in the older population. But many people can live well with chronic conditions. And here in Wisconsin, we have another gem, which is called the Wisconsin Institute for Healthy Aging. And this institute is a clearinghouse for evidence-based health promotion programming. And essentially what they do is they may have an idea, and they work with researchers to test that idea so that it can get some evidence base behind it. And then once it's proven effective, there's dissemination all across the state through our local aging and disability resource centers, aging units, and other hospitals and other health systems that can implement these things. Again, this is also a volunteer-led programs that are available, and we have some very positive outcomes that we're seeing from some of these healthy aging programs as they tie to falls prevention, for example, chronic disease self-management, and diabetes specifically, in addition to some other things. So this gets to the point of we really, even as we age, we can have very healthy lives well into old age.
Mm-hmm. And I definitely want to, you know, get back to talking about that issue, but Susan, I want to return to what you mentioned about, you know, in some sense that you don't, you know, we can't really anticipate every need that we're going to have to address in the future. Do you think that we're going to see the most response to this issue from government, be it state, be it local government even, or do you think that this is going to be something the private sector addresses?
You know, I think it has repercussions, you know, from the level of the individual and family all the way up, you know, through state, federal government. And I think that it will be addressed on all of those levels, including the community level. Carrie had mentioned, I think you called it, was it livable communities in Wisconsin?
Yes.
Yeah, so we have something similar here in Minnesota, Communities for a Lifetime, they're called here, but there are groups of communities, city planners who come together, county planners and interested citizens come together to think about and envision what their communities look like in terms of the infrastructure, in terms of the social settings and the needs to meet this new older age structure. So I think it's something that, yes, will be addressed by the public sector for sure. You know, in another way, the private sector is feeling the impact of aging already here in Minnesota, because we're having changes in the growth of our labor force due to the baby boomers retiring. We're already feeling this. We're already feeling that our labor force isn't growing as quickly as it grew in the 1990s and in the 2000s. And it's just because it's hard to keep up that labor force growth when you have a lot of people moving into retirement. So that's something that employers are already trying to figure out. How do we find workers in this slow growth environment? So in some ways, they're meeting some of the challenges or faced with some of the challenges that aging brings, some of the changes that aging brings right now before even other entities will feel the change.
Susan Brower, State Demographer of Minnesota, is here with us today to kick off a new monthly series on aging, how communities in the region are getting older, and what issues seniors face in Wisconsin and neighboring states. Also joining us today to talk about the changing demographics of the region is Carrie Mulkey, Director of the Wisconsin Bureau of Aging and Disability Resources. Coming up, we'll continue our conversation on the challenges and advantages of aging in Wisconsin and Minnesota. You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin.
To hear audio archives of today's show, visit our website, wpr.org/newsmakers. You'll also find links to some of the census and other survey data that we talked about today. Our site also has archives of other past editions of Newsmakers, and if you'd like to share comments or make suggestions for future shows, you'll find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/newsmakers. For updates on future shows, links to our archives, and more, like us on Facebook at WPR Newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Hope Kerwin. We're starting a new monthly series on aging in Wisconsin and neighboring states. As the region's population continues to skew older, we hope to touch on different issues that come with an aging population. Today we're talking with Minnesota State Demographer Susan Brower and Director Carrie Mulkey of the Wisconsin Bureau of Aging and Disability Resources about the changing demographics of the region and what communities in Wisconsin and Minnesota can expect as more of the population reaches age 65 and older. And so one topic that we started to touch on before we went to the break was the labor force. And I know that this is definitely going to be an issue. I think, Susan, you were talking about it. Do you want to continue what you were kind of talking about with, you know, just the need for the labor force as more people reach retirement age?
Sure. So what we're seeing here in Minnesota is a real slowdown in the growth of our labor force. We're continuing to grow the number of workers in the state, but it's just growing at a very slow pace. And I've looked at these numbers across the Midwestern states, and the story is the same throughout. So what's happening is we're having a large cohort of workers reach retirement age, and despite what we often think about, younger, older adults, they're retiring at much the same rate that their generations before them retired as well. So I know this is something I hear a lot when I'm out talking to folks is, well, no, I'm going to work for a very long time and I am not going to retire. But when we look at these numbers in the aggregate, it really does appear, at least here in Minnesota, that we're seeing the retirements take shape in much the same way as the earlier generations. So what that does is it slows the pace of the labor force growth and potentially could hamper economic growth if employers aren't able to find the workers that they need to work in their companies.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure, you know, the issue we were talking about earlier with a lot of the younger populations maybe seeking a city area is also kind of contributing to, you know, these openings that we don't have workers to fill.
That's right. And I think the issue becomes particularly acute in some of those rural areas that we were talking about before when you see the increased need for caregivers and healthcare workers, and you have a very small younger generation of people who can do that work, they really do feel that shortage much more acutely in those rural areas for some sectors.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, what are things that, you know, maybe the state is doing or maybe just we're seeing on a regional level that we're doing to try to attract people maybe back to the area to work?
Well, we have a very active organization called Greater MSP, who is actively recruiting people to move to Minneapolis and St. Paul, based very much on this projected labor force shortage. While this is happening here in Minnesota, it's likely to be happening in Wisconsin and in many, many other states. You know, a lot of states are in the same boat with a rapidly aging population, and especially those of us that don't have a lot of in-migration of young people from other states. it's going to be stiffer competition all around for young people. And so that was just one example of an organization, but they're doing things like having social get-togethers for newcomers and helping to orient people to the different kinds of cultural features here in Minnesota, and helping people get together and meet other people so they get connected quickly to the communities.
Mm-hmm. Right, and I would echo that as well. Basically, everything that you said is absolutely what we're seeing here in Wisconsin as well. I mean, there's clearly a need to compete for talent, and so I think, you know, many employers are needing to think that through about how to keep and retain employees. One thing I would like to add, though, is that I also think, at least here in Wisconsin, there's efforts to retain and recruit older workers. So just as you were touching on, you know, older workers, older adults are actually working longer, and some efforts underway here in Wisconsin to retain older workers come through an initiative. Wisconsin has been working to redesign our system of care as it relates to dementia, individuals with dementia. And one of the things that we developed was an employer's toolkit. And the toolkit is intended to allow employers to recognize the caregivers that are in their workforce, because it is the case that a significant number of workers are serving in that role. And because of that particular issue, people leave early, they leave the workforce early, or if it's not viewed as a dementia-friendly, so to speak, employer, people leave those organizations if they're dealing with challenges related to caregiving. So there are some efforts that we can do, too, to make businesses, if you will, attractive to older workers as well.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Susan.
I would just add too, yes, absolutely. I think this is an issue that employers are very interested in. And just, you know, how can they be creative to find workers in places that they haven't looked before? So it's not only about looking outside of our, it's not only eyeing Wisconsin's workforce. So it's also about who do we have here now, including older workers, including people with disabilities, including people who maybe don't have the skills or the education that the job requires. How do we skill people up very quickly to meet the demand that employers have? I think it's just an entirely new context that's based on this aging trend, where employers who are able to be creative and flexible with their policies to make work attractive to all these groups who maybe didn't have the same opportunities in the past.
Absolutely.
You know, and I think this brings up an interesting, maybe a positive to having an older population is that, you know, from my standpoint, I think that it could also be a benefit to have older generations in the workforce and maybe in a business or an agency for institutional knowledge. I mean, do you guys feel like maybe that could be a positive to having older generations engaged in the workforce?
That's without question.
Yeah, and I would just say, too, I mean, if employers are, absolutely, I would agree with that. I would say that if employers are able to think about what it is that older workers need in order to maintain them and to keep that institutional knowledge, you know, is it moving to, you know, providing more contracts for work, even though maybe they didn't do that in the past? Maybe they only had full-time employees and didn't do contract work. You know, that might be something that would be a win-win for employers and for older workers, because the older workers may have the flexibility to work when they want and work in short periods of time and maybe travel a bit, but still be able to pass on that knowledge.
Exactly. I was thinking about how part-time, having opportunities for part-time is another way to attract older adults to the workforce.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking about the aging populations of Wisconsin and Minnesota and how the growing number of seniors will affect the region. We're here with Minnesota State Demographer Susan Brower and Director Carrie Mulkey from the Wisconsin Bureau of Aging and Disability Resources. And, you know, on the reverse, for those who do choose to retire and get out of the workforce, you know, another positive to the situation where, you know, a lot of times focuses on the negative, I think there could be more volunteer opportunities for an older population. And Carrie, I think you were talking about how, you know, people who are maybe just transitioning into that retirement age are also kind of filling that gap to care for you know, people who are even older.
Absolutely. There's many volunteer opportunities and across generations. So I talked a little bit about some of the assistance for that some of the roles volunteers can play in supporting older adults, but also the opportunities, the intergenerational opportunities are also very impactful for our communities as well.
Mm-hmm. And Susan, do you see any other positives that I might be missing to having older generations, you know, be a primary part of our population?
You know, thinking about that volunteer piece is just, I can't underscore enough how important that potentially could be. So when you take the number of baby boomers that are moving, you know, up over that 65-year-old age mark and possibly into retirement, and think, you know, that on average they've got 15 years of healthy, active life ahead of them, that's the average. It just, the hours and hours of contribution, potential contribution, just the amount of time that's freed up within that population for doing work that they really care about is potentially quite a change. And so I think, you know, here in Minnesota, we've had some initiatives that have specifically recruited older adult volunteers who are just moving out of their work lives and paired them with younger generations, younger people who are in school, maybe struggling in school to do tutoring or other kinds of volunteer work. And it's a really neat partnership.
And I'd love to address that question as well, if I could.
Yeah.
I think, you know, when I think about this, and we've, again, talked quite a bit about this, you know, what will happen with the arrival of the baby boomers? And I think what's very fascinating, if you think about this generation, it is a generation that's really transformed America through every stage in life. And so, you know, why would it be different at this point in time? And I believe that they're certain to transform how we look at aging. And I think that's a wonderful opportunity, something that I think a lot about and maybe is personally important to me, is that I think there's a great opportunity with this growing demographic for this generation to really change what it means to grow old and challenge some of our stereotypes and images of older adults, challenge our expectations of ourselves as we age. You know, a lot of people still, you know, picture a very frail people and that you know, everyone's going to end their life in a nursing home and those sorts of things. And I just think there's so many negative images out there. And I think this, again, this generation has really challenged so many of those societal images. And I look forward to them really doing that with our older population as well. So I think there's a huge benefit ahead for us.
Yeah, Carrie, and I think you mentioned earlier just the idea of having, you know, seniors having a stronger voice for really speaking out about what their needs are and making those sorts of changes. Do you think we're, I don't know, maybe on a you know, state lawmaker level going to be seeing more senior lobbying going on?
I would say that we will see more civic engagement, absolutely. And it'll demand more attention to aging issues. They, as I said before, will have a louder voice. And I do think it'll lead to some changes in some of our institutions. In our economy, we talked about that. You know, businesses are going to need to think about this new customer base and how they need to respond to it. And I think that that will absolutely be a positive thing for our state and country.
And what do you think, Susan, in Minnesota as well?
Yeah, I'd agree. One of the things that I have talked about with groups in the past is just what a deep change this is for so many of our institutions. We touched on that earlier. But it really presents an opportunity to innovate. And I think Carrie was getting to this as well in thinking about how is it that the baby boomers will transform the image of aging. I think when we are moving down a path that is going to have to change because the aging trend will require us to change, you know, it gives us the opportunity to put something in place that works better than what we have now. And so I think, I know it sounds very optimistic, but I really do feel that we'll have some big opportunities to put changes in place that we otherwise wouldn't be able to put in place.
And Susan, you're talking about, you know, opportunities for innovation, and I think, you know, we've talked about this a little bit, but we've seen a lot of innovation in healthcare and just the health sector. Do you think that this is going to be a sector that, you know, continues to grow?
Well, the numbers will ensure that it continues to grow, absolutely. And then, you know, some of the changes that we're seeing in the biological sciences, too, really, you know, they're really pointing to big question marks in terms of how will we age moving forward. So I think we'll definitely be experiencing this big change in the healthcare sector, yes, because we'll have more older people. But I think just how that will change is an exciting thing to watch unfold.
And Carrie, are we seeing here in Wisconsin, are we seeing also, you know, innovations and changes in the health sector?
Absolutely. And again, this demographic demands that. And I think, you know, again, just underscoring what Susan was saying on that. And what I would say is it's important to look at both the healthcare aspects of the system as well as our long-term care systems, which aren't the same systems. But in all ends, I think moving towards more community-based health promotion, more community-based care and services, those are all things that we'll need to continue to shift and change.
Yeah, and that's something we have seen here in Minnesota as a real shift toward keeping people in their homes whenever it's possible. How is it that we can meet the care needs, both health care and just independent living needs of older adults in their own home? And it's a win-win situation for both the providers and for the people who are funding those services because it tends to cost less than in institutional care. But it's also a win for the older adults who overwhelmingly prefer to stay in their own home as long as they possibly can.
Yeah, and Carrie, I think that's, you know, the idea of aging at home is maybe something that you obviously think a lot about with the, you know, aging and disability resources.
Absolutely. And also in some of our public programs as well, you know, that is primarily what we try and achieve through a number of programs that we have. And just as you were saying, it is what people tend to prefer, but also a cost-effective option. And so the more that we can provide people with information about those options, a lot of people don't know that there is quite a bit of assistance that can be provided right in somebody's home that can prevent a move to either an assisted living facility or a nursing home prematurely. So those are all things that as much as we can put information in the hands of people as they make and face these life challenges, the better we will all be.
We've been talking with Carrie Mulkey, Director of the Wisconsin Bureau of Aging and Disability Resources, and Susan Brower, State Demographer of Minnesota, about the aging populations of Wisconsin and Minnesota, and how communities in our region will be affected as populations in both states continue to grow older. Today's show is the first of a new monthly series on aging in Wisconsin and neighboring states. Every month, we hope to explore a new issue related to the growing population of seniors in our region. In February, during the next show in our series, we'll talk to healthcare professionals about caring for people with dementia. And that's Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. The executive producer for Newsmakers is John Gatto, and our senior news editor and producer is John Davis. If you missed part of today's show, you can find the audio archives at wpr.org/newsmakers. You'll also find links to some of the census and other survey data we talked about today. Our site also has archives of other past editions of Newsmakers, and if you'd like to share comments or make suggestions for future shows, you'll find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/newsmakers. For updates on future shows, links to our archives, and more, like us on Facebook at WPR Newsmakers.